Thank you, Sam, and again, thank all of you for being here tonight. And I know that God will bless you as a result of being here to encourage others in the faith, and we certainly are thankful tonight that you've made the decision to be with us. If you're visiting with us, again, we say thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll come again. It's always great to enter into the house of God. I don't know how people make it through a week without really enjoying the wonderful fellowship and the encouragement that we receive from one another as God's children. It just makes it a wonderful, wonderful week. You know, you and I have something to give to others tonight. You may think in your heart, well, I don't really have anything to offer to anybody. But we all do. I want you to turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the third chapter. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to begin the reading tonight of an event that occurred here in the days of the early church. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 9, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called, by the way, the beautiful gate, "to ask alms of them that would enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms of them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." You know, this was almost a typical setting in the city of Jerusalem. There were caste systems, I guess you could say. There were people who were quite wealthy, but there were people who were beggars on the street, much like they have them in larger cities. We don't see a lot of that here. We see some of it. But they didn't hold up signs saying we would work for food and all those kinds of things. But they were people who simply begged for the simple sustenance of life that would really keep them alive and keep them going. The very things that Jesus said that would be provided if we sought the kingdom of God first. He said if we seek God and His righteousness first, then the food will be provided, the shelter will be provided, even the clothing that we put upon our bodies would be provided. But here was a man who was lame and had been lame for a long, long time. And they had to bodily pick him up and bring him before this what they call the beautiful gate. And many of the rich folks in the days of the early church would walk through this gate. And they would come up to this gate. And he had hoped that someone would have mercy or compassion on him when he would be brought there and laid there to ask alms. Well, when he saw Peter and John, he began to ask of them an alms or for help. Or for money. And then Peter and John look upon him and say, "Well, we don't have any silver and we don't have any gold. But what we have, we give unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Now, probably going through the mind of this lame man was, what in the world's going on here? What could they possibly give me if they don't have silver or gold? The only exchange that I would have here would be silver or gold. Maybe he thought that they were talking about compassion. But they were talking about something much more powerful. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says that he did leap to his feet. And I want you to notice what's going on here. When he goes into the temple praising God with them, the Bible says that he is leaping for joy. He is so overwhelmed by what has happened. You know, you and I, every day, you might not have a whole lot of money to be able to give to other people, but did you know the Bible says that you too have something to offer? And I want to share with you tonight at least three things that I believe that every one of us in this audience can share with other people. If you don't have money, you do have these three. Now, you may not believe it, and you may walk out of here tonight saying, well, you don't know. You know, I just don't have either of those three. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe you do. And you can truthfully say with Peter and John, to those who might ask of you, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Just because Peter and John had no money to give to this lame man, they did not say, well, you know, we cannot do much of anything, and so we're not going to do anything at all. Now, it's unfortunate that we live in a world where people are unwilling to share and unwilling to help other people around them. It is a tragic thing. But we do live in a very selfish society, and a lot of people are unconcerned. Many people walk by this man, no doubt. He was much like the man that we read about in the book of Acts, or in the book of Luke, chapter 16. He was a poor beggar, and he was laid at that rich man's gate. And every day, people would drive by or walk by in their chariot. They would ride, maybe, and they would see him, but they had no compassion on him at all. And the Bible said that the dogs even had more compassion than many of the human beings would have for him. But Peter and John had compassion. They didn't turn a deaf ear. And they were much like Jesus. Did you know the Bible says of Jesus in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that he went about doing good? You know, that's a great testimony, isn't it? I think that would be worthy to put on anybody's tombstone. He went about doing good. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 58, the foxes have their holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was not a rich man. He wasn't. By the standards of the world then, and certainly by the standards of the world today, Jesus would have been very poor. Very poor. As a matter of fact, Joseph of Arimathea had to donate a tomb in which to place Jesus where he was going to be resurrected, where no man had ever laid. Now, I want you to think with me tonight, the three areas where I really believe that you and I can offer something to others. The first being your time. Now, I know you're immediately going to say, now, wait a minute, preacher, you know what? I don't have time for a lot of things. And most people, a lot of times when you call upon them, that will be the immediate reaction. Well, you don't understand how busy I am. You ever heard people say that? Say, would you like to teach a Bible class? Well, you don't understand how busy I am. Why don't you come to Monday night for the master and help us do the work of God up here at the church? Oh, well, you know, I would do that, but I don't have time. Why not attend Bible class on Sunday morning or on Wednesday? Well, you know, I'd do that, but you know, I just don't have time. We all can make excuses for not using our time in worthy pursuits. Most of us could truthfully say we don't have enough time. But that's a story. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? How the man had been beaten, robbed, left for dead? And two preachers, a priest and the Levite, see this man in his distress, and they both walk by. They see him. One of them walks over and takes a look at him. Walks right on by. Doesn't do anything for him. But the Bible says a certain Samaritan, and Jesus didn't name this individual in this story. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan, but the story is there. And this Samaritan sees this man who's been beaten and robbed and left for dead. And Jesus says that this Samaritan goes over and renders aid to this Jewish man. And you remember that Samaritans and Jews didn't have any dealings at all. None. But the Samaritan, in his charitable way, knew more about the Spirit of God than did the priest and the Levite. Because even under Old Testament law, they were to show compassion. Compassion didn't just start with Jesus in the New Testament. But it started with God a long time ago. And the Samaritan was willing to give his time. He was willing to give even more than his time. He was willing to give his money to make sure that this individual was taken care of. And you know, a lot of times people are willing to give their money if they can get their name up in lights. or if you can praise me or offer me accolades for these big bequests, if you will, that I offer, perhaps. I heard about the American industrialist, Henry Ford. He was one time asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. And the billionaire pledged, he decided he was going to donate $5,000. Well, the next day, the newspaper, the headline read, Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital. How would you feel if they got it all screwed up like that? Let me tell you how Henry felt. The irate Ford was on the phone immediately to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. The fundraiser replied that they would print a retraction in the paper the following day to read this way: Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. Now, realizing the poor publicity that would result from that, however, the industrialist agreed to give $50,000 in contribution for the return. He said, I want this at the above entrance of the hospital, and I want it to be carved there. He said, it is the biblical inscription, and here it was: I came to you, and you took me in. You don't know what Henry was really thinking about. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that are so unwilling really to give of their time. Time is such a precious, precious commodity. It is. In that story of the Good Samaritan, you remember Jesus answered the question, who is my neighbor, in that story. That really initiated the discussion about this Good Samaritan. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. You do like this Good Samaritan. You know, there are so many people in our world that are in need of our time. Let me just share a few with you. You know, the aged are in need of our time. They are. For some reason or another, the aged folks, sometimes maybe even in our congregation, get overlooked. They do. People that are in nursing facilities who are growing old, sometimes they grow old alone. And they need our time. They need our encouragement. Now, a lot of people say, well, somebody else will take care of that. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. Many, many times they're overlooked. Now, let me tell you something. One of these days, you're going to be there. Now, it'll be a long time before I get there. But one of these days, you are going to be there. And I've learned also in life that what goes around comes around. If you are a giver, you will be on the receiving end when that time comes. You know, Christ was a giver. Have you ever thought about that? He wasn't a getter. We have a lot of people in the world who won't be getters. Christ was a giver. God was a giver. Think about it. Everything you read about Jehovah God is the fact that God was a giver. God wasn't a getter. God gave you life. He gave me life. He gave us words by which we can live. He gave us Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and He is willing to give us salvation, and He is willing to give us heaven. It is the gift of God, the Bible says, and Paul makes it plain in the book of Romans chapter 6 when he says, it is a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you read the book of Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is a gift. And so if God was a giver, don't you think God is saying that to us as well? And we ought to be willing to give of our time to the aged and to the young. You know, sometimes the young are often overlooked. They are. We get so busy in our own way. And Blake and Brandy are doing a great job with our young people. And I said that last night and I meant it. I appreciate their spirit. Their spirit of love and their spirit of encouragement for our young people. And we need to offer words of encouragement to them. Sometimes we feel like, well, we don't have a responsibility to the young because we got a youth director. He'll take care of all that. Some people say, we don't have a responsibility to the aged because Bernie is on staff and he'll take care of that. We all have a responsibility. The fact that we have men on the staff does not circumvent the fact that you and I are amenable unto God for our time as well. We need to offer more time to our families. You know, sometimes we don't spend enough time together as a family. It used to be an old saying that said, the family that stays together prays together. But that's true. We need to spend more time with one another. Families are so fragmented and so divided today. We need to be a people. We live in an age of technology. I understand that. And people talk about the fast pace that they live in life. And it is true. I understand. Listen, nobody understands what you say more than me. My life is constantly going. It's like this. And if something's not going right now, we're thinking about what's going in a few minutes. What's going to happen next? And it does all day long. All day long. Someone said, time is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night with nerves tight, the plane hop with a brief stop, the lamp tan with short span, the big shot in a good spot, and the brain strain, the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps, and then the fun's done. That may describe your life. I don't know. Sometimes it describes mine. But we ought to be a people that are willing to give of our time. The reason we ought to give of our time is because there are so many other people out there in the world who need it. Sometimes they need your time more than your money. I don't know why people get the idea. They feel like, you know, money is going to satisfy every issue in life. It doesn't. It doesn't. In the book of Ecclesiastes 8 in verse 5, Solomon said that a wise man's heart discerneth time. The Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says that we are to redeem the time, to buy it, use it wisely. That's really what he's talking about. Make good use of every opportunity that you have. Do not be lazy, do not be indolent, but listen, use your time wisely. For James 4 and verse 14 again says, whereas you don't even know what's going to be on tomorrow. How many of you are making plans already for tomorrow? You probably are. I have been too. He said, but you know what? You don't even know what's going to be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. We live in a race against time. We do. You know, one of my favorite singers was Anne Murray, Canadian. I always liked Anne Murray. You know, she sang a song a number of years ago entitled, Time Don't Run Out on Me. I think probably that would be the feelings down deep within the soul of every one of us. Time don't run out on me. But as we often sing that grand old hymn, time is filled with swift transition. Sam, you remember that? Well, F.L. Allen wrote that song a number of years ago, but it's so true. It is filled with swift transition. Not only can you give your time, you can give the little things of life, little things. The Oak Ridge Boys, whom I also like, by the way, sang a song a number of years ago entitled, Baby, It's the Little Things That Make Me Love You So. And it is true, isn't it? Aren't we drawn to people because of the little things they do? It doesn't have to be great and magnanimous. The little things. Jesus even said, by the way, in the book of Matthew 10 and verse 42. And this happened to me yesterday. We were conducting a funeral here. And at the memorial service, someone was a little overtaken and overwhelmed and hyperventilated. And the man came in and asked me, he said, look, do you have any water, bottled water? And I said, no. But I said, you know what? Let me go see if I can get you a cup and we'll give you some water. So I went and got a coffee cup, and I came in, and I filled it with water, cold water, and I gave it to him. He says, man, I really appreciate this, I think. And I said, I'm sorry we don't have bottled water, but I can give you this cup of cold water. And I thought about the lesson that I was going to present tonight. And by the way, did you know in the book of Matthew 10 and verse 42, Jesus said, "Whosoever giveth a cup of cold water in my name shall not go without his reward." You think God's going to reward me for giving that cup of water? You betcha. Now, I know that may sound silly to you, but I'm telling you it's true. God took note of that. I didn't do it for that reason. I wasn't asking God for special blessings because I gave a cup of water to a fella. But Jesus said that. There's an old song the Happy Goodman family used to sing a number of years ago entitled, "Little Is Much If God Is In It." It's true. You ever thought about what God did? God took little things and made great things. He didn't take great things, but he took little things and made great things. Think about it. He could take a small lad's lunch who started out that morning. His mother gave him a little sack lunch, and he was going to eat it at noontime. And by the way, Jesus asked him if he could borrow his lunch. And he took that lunch of loaves and fishes. And the Bible says on one time he fed 5,000, and then on another time he fed 4,000. Now think about it. He could take a widow's two mites. It would be like reaching into your pocket and pulling out two pennies, and Jesus taught a great lesson just with those two little mites. Jesus was observing what people were giving. After all, the giver ought to take note of the ones who are giving. And he was sitting there observing the treasury, and all these rich folks were coming by, and they were casting in out of their abundance. But Jesus noticed all of a sudden this little widow who started walking up to where the treasury was, where people were casting in their donations. And Jesus looked at her, and he saw that she cast in two mites. Just two mites. And he said to the disciples, "Many have come here and have cast in out of their abundance, but this poor widow, what she has given has been worth much, much more than those who have given out of their abundance, because she cast in all of her living." Now, no one else would have been privy to that. She didn't parade up to the contribution plate and said, "Okay, all I've got is two mites. That's all I'm going to give. That's all I've got. And, you know, from here on, Lord help. I don't know where the next meal's coming." She didn't say that. Nobody knew that. And she wasn't trying to give pretentiously, but Jesus, in his omniscient way, knew about her life. And he knew that two mites was all she had. She wasn't trying to be stingy, but she gave what she had. She didn't have the attitude of a lot of people today. I heard about a mother one time who wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson about giving. And she gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. And the mother said, "When you get to church," she said, "you put whichever one you want to in the collection plate and you keep the other for yourself." Well, when they were coming out of church, the mother asked the daughter which amount she had given. And the little girl said, "Well, Mom, I was going to give the dollar. But just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. And I knew that I would be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so that's what I did." Now, believe it or not, that is the mentality that a lot of people have in the church. People use that. I'm honest when they say it. "Well, you know, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be cheerful. And so, I'm not going to give proportion to my income, but I will give a little bit here to satisfy my conscience." We ought to be people who are willing to give the little things of life, even. It could be a card or simple as a call to someone. You know what? We mention sick folk up here all the time. Every Sunday morning, we put them up here on the PowerPoint. We put them in the bulletin. We call their names up here from the announcement. And I wonder how many of us really give those folks a call. I wonder how many of us, we got a few folks in the church that send cards, but I wonder how many of us really take note of those people. And I know the argument of people say, well, I don't even know them. They wouldn't even know who I was. So what? I don't know anybody that wouldn't appreciate a card. The little things. I don't know a preacher that wouldn't appreciate a coat like this. Little things and a laugh. Simple things. The Lord did that. See Jesus at Bethany, in Galilee, in Capernaum, they were bringing a young man who had deceased, and the pallbearers were taking him outside of the community to bury him. And Jesus observed what was going on at that memorial service. It's just almost just unbelievable what happens next. He converses with the widow about her only son, only one she had, and he had died. And he restores life to that young man. Luke chapter 7. Our compassionate Lord. What seems so little to other people is often viewed by others as a great act of love. Several years ago, Audrey had a birthday. I may have shared this story with you several years ago, but several years ago, Audrey did have a birthday, and Amanda was considerably younger. She admits she has birthdays. I didn't mean to intimidate that, you know. It's kind of like the little boy that came up to one of the dear sisters in our church, you know, who's quite elderly, and he said, Miss, I won't name the name, how old are you? And she said, well, I'm 39 and holding. And he said, well, how old would you be if you let go? But several years ago, Audrey was having a birthday, and Amanda, being the considered person she is, and Dana, well, anyway, Amanda, we have a little box of cards at home. Matter of fact, it's not a little box, a big box. And so, anyway, it has all kind of cards in it, you know, general cards. And she had gotten her birthday card, so she thought. She went through all that box of all occasion cards and thought she had picked out a birthday card. She was much younger, I think probably five, six years old, whatever. And instead, it was a sympathy card. And it read, just to let you know that we feel your grief. But last of all, not only can you give your time, and you can, and your acts of love, but thirdly, you can give your encouragement. You know, it's a simple word of encouragement. You know, so many have been offered in the last few days to me. And I tell you, it's just kind of like saying, sick them to a dog. It is. I'm telling you, honestly, words of encouragement. Don't they mean so much to you? David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Be generous with praise, someone said, and cautious with your criticism. For in Proverbs 12:25, the writer said, heaviness in the heart of man maketh him stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Just simple words mean so much. The Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, that is, he gets it in control, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So we can all offer words of encouragement, words that lift us up, not tear us down. No, we all need words. That's what I try to do every morning on NBC 56. Is to offer a word, just word of encouragement. And a little clip called Something to Think About. And I have people all the time tell me that, and I'm not sounding my own praise here. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you that people say, look, we watch that, and it just kind of lifts our day. And that's what it really is all about. Listen, there's so much bad news on TV. There's so much bad news traveling around in the world, in the paper, and everywhere else. Don't we all need a lift? And surely we can offer one and give one. And I hope that we'll do that. There are some things that you can give. So I hope you'll remember that this week. You can give of your time. You might not have a whole lot of it. But listen, divest yourself of some of the things that are less important. Give of your time to someone. Give someone a call this week. The little simple things. Offer a word of encouragement. The little things of life. They mean so much. That's the way Jesus lived his life, and I really believe it's the way that we ought to live ours. I thank you for coming tonight. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you're here tonight and perhaps maybe you feel that there's some area of your life or some dimension of your life that's lacking and you'd like for the congregation of believers here to pray in your behalf that you might be strengthened, or if you're not a child of God and you'd like to commit your life to Christ and to start serving honorably before Him, you can of your sin tonight and be baptized for the remission of your sin while we stand together and while we sing.